Welcome to this week's Talking Codswallop. I am Gemma.
I'm James.
Oh my goodness. Who are you?
I'm here. I do exist. I'm not a myth.
He's a myth, a legend. What's the other thing?
I do agree that I'm a legend, so yes.
Yes, how have you been, James?
I've not been too bad, but just one of the initial things I want to do was really just a bit of sad news that had come to us. Gabriel Ridioch, who'd been one of our co-hosts previously on the podcast, Her husband, unfortunately, passed away quite suddenly recently. So, I mean, obviously from all of us, I am passing on condolences to Gabrielle and her children and the rest of her family. And so obviously we're all thinking of you, and I believe that it was Gordon's funeral today. So obviously we're thinking of you in this difficult time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I echo what James has just said, that our hearts are all going out and thoughts are all going out to you all.
It's a very difficult time. So, you know, Lots of love to you all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But yes, we're going, obviously thoughts are with them all, but going on to the podcast, yep. I'm going to ask Gemma, how have you been? Because it seems like it's been a dog's age since I've last spoke to you, because I've either been ill, tired, or a combination therein.
Yeah, or having such the amazing social life, which I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, but Have you?
I did not, no, but go on.
What happened, James? You had a new brand of cheese out and you had a hot date with a gas man. So just to fill you
the
in.
I just want to point out the gas man was very kind and lovely, and fingers crossed to sort my problem out. He's not really my type, but he was very efficient at his job.
Did he sort your pipes out at least?
My issue was not pipes, it was a transmitting problem.
I know, but sorting your pipes out is much funnier. Yes.
Filth. Notice that, you see, you know, just take that one, you know, listen to that one, Salty Tab Balls, the pure filth
I know.
Coming from Gemma. And you'd want nothing less, would you?
No, absolutely. I mean, I can't deliver anything else. So if people want something different, I'm ever so sorry. And actually, before we get off of the topic of last week's episode, I would like James to go back and listen to it. It is only Monday. Yesterday for us was podcast landing world. So I would love it if James actually did listen to the episode, because I think it's a really good one. But I have got a retraction to make and an apology. So brace yourself, people. So Bob Murden Brown, he has corrected me. So me and Andy got, just so I can fill James in a little bit, me and Andy mm-hmm. got a little bit confused because it was the top five favorite songs, which we did a playlist for, and it's on Spotify if anyone wants to listen to it. There is a link in the previous episode's bio, so if you want to go and check mm-hmm. that out, that would be awesome. But he put, one of the options was BTTF. And he corrected me today, saying that this is actually Back to the Future, which I knew. Unfortunately, I realised when I was listening to the final edit, and I was driving in my car, and I was like, oh, you muppet. And I was really kicking myself because I love Back to the Future, and I couldn't believe I got that wrong. But alas, so it is Back to the Future. But also he says that, unfortunately, because I said that Muse were from Somerset, and he said that unfortunately they're not from Somerset, they're actually from Devon. So I made two mistakes on that episode. But he does say that British Transport Train Fans is what we thought BTTF stood for, is now his favourite term for train spotters. Or as I was told years ago, we should call them railway enthusiasts, ducking transporters. But I think he means fucking transporters, or train spotters. Sorry, let's correct that. So I think when he writes ducking, I think he He means fucking, so there we have it. But yeah, I did really kick myself when I was like, oh God, BTTF, of course it's Back to the Future. Fucking Muppet. So yeah, so, you know. But we did have a lot of fun with what we thought it was, which was British Transport Trains fans or something like that.
It's all right, Gemma. As you get older, the mind starts to wander. I understand.
It does. Well, in some, for some reason, I had it in my head that, because I knew he liked Batman, and I just put the B to Batman. So in my head, oh, there sucks, everybody. In my head, yeah, it was going to be something to do with Batman, but yeah, I didn't think Back to the Future. But anyway, so that is correction and apologies. But also, if we had have got it right, we wouldn't have had such amazing content. So, you know, there we have it.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, exactly. What have I been up to? I mean, I've not really been up to much because it's not been that long between recordings for me. So it'll probably be more interesting to find out if you've been up to anything. One thing I did have was, you know, the segment On the Road Again, James, which we've established as your favourite segment. So it's On the Road Again with Gemma, Andy and James. Now, I wanted to add Andy in. So previously, last week, I saw somebody on a mobility scooter who had a parrot on his shoulder. A real life parrot, by the way, not a fake one. So On the Road Again, I saw this lady who could have matched perfectly with a gentleman from last week's On the Road Again, which basically this lady had a mobility scooter, but she had lots and lots of bells on it so that people could hear her coming, but like jingly jangly bells rather than like a honk honk bell. I think that I need to kind of get them together, James.
I'm starting to question who the hell is around the area that you've been. Where is this place?
This is at home. So, you know, this is only kind of like a streets away from where I live, basically. So it's not far. It's not a far distance.
Okay. So basically what you're telling me is your future has a mobility scooter in it so you can blend in.
Maybe. Yeah. There was actually a guy at work who he inherited a mobility scooter of his, like one of his relatives that had passed away, and he actually used it to drive into work every day.
Fair enough. I mean, I can't blame him. Was he hogging the road? Do you mean actually going on the road?
I'm not sure. I think he was more on the pavement than he was anything else. But I know that it got a little bit tricky because the battery wasn't fantastic on it. So he did have to keep recharging it quite often. But yeah, it was quite an interesting sight to see. Like basically he looks a bit like a Viking. So he's got like this big long beard. But he's also like into heavy metal music. So if you can kind of, and he's got a bandana on his head as well. So if you can kind of imagine.
I can visualize. Yeah. I can really visualize. I can see how this would work as well.
One of our, one of my friends from work, and he is bonkers as well. So, you know, but it's always quite fun. And I was also a bit of a hero this week as well, James.
Tell me more.
I will. So I went over, I was sort of driving over to Portland, and it was, the weather was on, it was on Thursday. So the weather was horrendous down here, but it was like really, really windy as it is today. And it's also really raining as well. But the rain was like it was raining ice. So it wasn't hailstones, but it was literally the rain was so sharp and cold that it felt like it was being hit by ice, and it was horrible. So I popped to this petrol station, and they were having, they were having issues with their door. So Portland, because I was going over to Portland, Portland is typically gets the brunt of the storm. So, you know, it's quite a bad area to sort of go to during a storm. So I probably shouldn't have gone that way. But so this shop had issues. Their door was stuck open. So obviously the rain was coming in, but it was coming in right at the angle that it was literally coming into the shop. And so was the wind. So I felt really bad for them. But then all of a sudden, after I sort of got back to my car, all these three trolleys decided to run, come out of the shop through the open door that they, you know, they were trying to sort of close just in time, but no, it didn't work. So they literally were just like going, you know, at the full pace of what the wind was blowing kind of thing towards everybody's cars. So I literally just jumped out of my car and caught two of them. And I was like, you know, at least the members of the staff were running after them as well. So, you know, I just thought I'd give them a hand. And yeah, I was just, it was like a crazy moment though, because I was like, Jesus Christ, you know, that, I mean, it could have hit my car. And if it did, then, you know, I'm not going to do anything about it. It's accidental, you know, kind of thing. But at the same time, yeah, there was a lot of people that were sat in their car going, I feel like there's a claim coming on here. You know, instead of helping, you could still see these poor people were like absolutely drenched, running around the forecourt trying to, you know, get these trolleys back so that nobody gets hurt or whatever. But yeah, but they were like people rubbing their hands going, go and hit my car.
I mean, I'm very impressed because normally, because you're, you know, as we discussed before we recorded, your blood runs cold with evil and you showed empathy and caring. So
I did.
There's hope for you. I mean, it also means that, you know, the world may be coming to an end fairly soon if these things are happening, but, you know.
Yeah, but it was quite a funny sight at the same time, you know. But it does kind of annoy me that people don't help, you know.
It's true. You do see. You see that, unfortunately, happening far too much where people just do nothing, so...
Yeah, exactly. So that's my week, really. I haven't really got any codswallop because nothing's pissed me off yet. So we'll see for next week or the week after. Do you know what? That's my
within the next 5 minutes.
yeah, exactly. That's my codswallop at the moment, is that I can't work out when the podcast needs releasing and not... So we might have to go back to weekly again, James, because
I thought you were going to say your codswallop was the fact you didn't have codswallop.
yeah, that's it too. But we might have to go back to a weekly podcast because I'm getting too confused. I'm trying to work out when we need to release the podcast, when we don't need to release it. No, but I'm just getting very confused. So we'll see how long this weeks.
Are you there going, who am I? Where am I? What day is this?
Exactly. I really am. And I'm like, I swear I need to do something today. And then I'm like, oh no, it's Sunday that we have off. Is it though? Is it not? And it's not. It's kind of messing with my long COVID. And it's, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But it might become a weekly podcast again.
We'll see. We'll see what the future brings.
Yeah, exactly. So...
I've got a codswallop, but it's preempted what you were going to ask, which is a strange one. So I needed a call from the pharmacy with regard to the medication I take. And they very specifically, they tried to ring my mobile. Mm-hmm. And because they're not on any kind of listed number, my mobile just rejects it. It won't take the call.
Oh, okay.
So I worked out what was happening, contacted the doctors. They said, right, we'll get someone to ring you. I think it was like on... Well, whatever the date was, that doesn't matter. But I said, you've got to ring my landline. Here's my landline. Make sure they ring that. Right, no problem. Waiting for the call, and lo and behold, they ring the mobile again.
Oh, for God's sake. Why can't people follow simple instructions? It's so frustrating, isn't it?
It is. They text me and said, we will ring you on this specific time. So I rang them back up and said, look, the Dodge surgeon said, look, you've got to ensure they ring my landline because... my mobile will not accept it because there's just no number with it. So it immediately sees it as a fraudulent call and kicks it off. And you can't do anything with it. You can't ring anything back. So there's just nothing there. So hopefully in the near future, they will actually speak to me.
Oh, no. Because, yeah, that is a bit frustrating, to be honest, especially when it's important like that, when it's to do with medication and stuff like that. So which is highly important. So, yeah. They need to sort that out very quickly.
It was both frustrating and amusing at the same time.
Yeah. A bit like my issue earlier that I had.
you go like, it happened again.
Yeah. But while you were talking, I have got more cards. I have another codswallop. So
fire in the hole.
I knew that there would be more. So one of the lights has come back on my car. So it's kind of a codswallop, but it's also not too bad of a codswallop in a way. But yeah, it was one of the lights that I've previously had sorted came back on, which is a massive pain in the ass.
It's an intermittent fault. Pray tell, which light has pinged on?
So it's the, I think it was the check engine light. What I did was a few weeks ago, I went to the mechanic that previously solved the problem, and he checked and he said, oh, it's the temperature gauge. And I said, well, you've previously changed that, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, yes, we did. So on a plus side, it's under warranty, so I haven't got to pay for it. But the frustrating part was that I received a telephone call last Thursday. I think everything happened on Thursday, to say, well, you know, you were supposed to, have your car in the garage yesterday. And I was like, no, it's this Wednesday coming, as in, you know, this Wednesday coming. And she goes, Oh. And luckily, my booking was still in for the Wednesday, but it actually turned out that they'd booked me in twice. So I could have had it done the week before, and I wouldn't have the issues of keep seeing the light coming on my dashboard. But, you know, it's safe to drive, so it should be fine.
Your car was built on an ancient Indian burial ground, clearly.
I'm pretty certain you're right there. I am. I'm pretty certain this car has been cursed. And it didn't help that I called it Loki, and it's living up to its name. But there you have it. So, you know. Well, James, I think we should actually get into the top five horror films that the Salty Tadpoles have actually submitted this week. Because
agreed.
We had an awful lot of responses, so it's going to take up most of the episode, I think, this time, so which is really good. But also, just to say, you know, because obviously Andy has been quite a main feature on the podcast just lately, but when he heard this topic, he did get a little bit scared and he hid behind a pillow. You know, he said, no, not horror films.
It's very harsh, Andy, that you're afraid of the horror films. I can only assume your fear of horror films has caused your hair loss and the greying of part of your beard. But as someone whose beard is greying, I can appreciate the fear. But, you know,
yeah,
they're only films, buddy. They're only films.
It's only make-believe, Andy. Come on. You like Walking the Dead, you know? Or The Walking Dead to everybody else. But also, James, me and you, we're pretty hardcore when it comes to the horror films, aren't we? So
damn right.
It's all good. Yeah. No, I absolutely love horror films. So, yeah, and in my opinion, horror isn't just for October, it's for all year round. So, let's get into the list. Do you want to start or shall I start?
I'll let you start.
Okay.
Ladies first.
Thank you very much. So, we've got Adam Coxey. So, thank you, Adam. We've got The Thing, which is the 1982 version. And which is a really, really good film. The Devil's Rejects, which is a spin-off to one of the ones that's on my list. And I absolutely love this film. So we had a good old chat about it on Facebook before. But obviously I wasn't going to put the chat up on the email. But, you know, we did have a good old chat about that film. Creepshow 2, Trick or Treat, and also Saw. And I love the Saw movies as well. They are a little bit graphic at times. Well, actually, not a little bit. They're massively graphic at all times. But yeah, they're more of a psychological horror, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Cause, I mean, the Saw films are brilliant. I love the, well, it is the whole psychological aspect of it.
Mm.
So I think it's just brilliant. And the gore is questionable sometimes, but yes.
Yeah. It's like having to cut your own foot off. Or whatever, to get the handcuffs off, isn't it? It's like...
Now, that will be a very interesting one. Cut your own foot off to get a handcuff off.
I know.
Interesting.
When I was actually
different.
Yeah, when I was actually saying it, because I can't remember if it was handcuffs that was around his ankle or whatever, but actually, yeah, it was a leg cuff, I guess, because,
an ankle cuff.
Mm. But yeah, so instead of it handcuffs, but, you know, still...
Mm-hmm. So Josh Button has put, not a huge fan of the genre, but the Scream movies were good. The most recent ones were a cool reboot. I'll have to agree to disagree on the most recent one, but I agree that the one prior to that wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, I've not actually seen the recent ones, so I can't really say. But yeah, I've always kind of liked the concept of the Scream ones. So yeah, yeah, good choice. Now, Owen Edmonds has written Arachnophobia, 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 Arachnophobia. I fucking hate spiders.
So I think, can we just get Owen Edmonds a pet spider to help him get through his problems? I mean, I don't like spiders much myself, to be honest, so I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by spiders, but snakes, yeah, really don't like snakes. So
Anaconda is not a film you'd like then?
No, or Snakes on a Plane. I came out in a sort of cold sweat when I was watching Snakes on a Plane, even though I knew that everything was like, you know, digital or whatever. But yeah, Snakes on a Plane, ugh, I hated it. I hated every second of it. It was awful. Awful film. Stupid, awful film. So yeah, yeah, I like that one.
That's the spirit. John Bukowski has come out with a good list. The Exorcist, is a good film. The Changeling, good. The Haunting. I don't know which Haunting he means, the original or the remake, but The Legend of Hell House and The Howling.
Mm.
All good films, yeah.
Yeah, I know The Exorcist and The Howling from those. So I haven't seen the other three films. Not that I know of, anyway. But I may have, you know, I may have stumbled upon them on, like, Netflix or whatever. But, yeah. So, actually, this is quite a good thing because it's actually given me a list of films that I need to go and watch, basically.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, Robin Benoni. His answer is in no particular order. Number one. No, I'm joking. He doesn't write number one. Nightmare on Elm Street, the original. The remake can fuck off. I absolutely agree with that. Well done. Evil Dead 2. Well, actually, most of them. Yeah. Evil Dead, the franchise of Evil Dead is incredible. Scream. And also the franchise. So you technically here, Robin, you are breaking the rules a little bit because you are going, you know, you're putting five answers, but you're actually putting a few more than five, aren't you, really?
He's put six other films in.
Yeah, exactly. He's a little bit of a lawbreaker, this Robin Maloney. But, you know, as always, I'll let you off. But and then the next one is Hellraiser, the original one. So, yeah. Really, really good film. And The Eye 2, just for the jumping off the roof scene. I don't think I've seen that film.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I've not seen The Eye 2. You ruined part of it for me. I ever do decide to watch The Eye 2, but I'll forgive you, Robin.
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert, for jumping off the room scene. Roof, even, not room. But, you know. I think I want to watch it just for the jumping off the roof scene now. It's actually intrigued me, so.
It's Jamie Westwood's up next, and it's interesting to see with a lot of these that we're getting a lot of crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
People are choosing the same kind of films.
Yeah.
So Halloween.
Yeah.
A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
Hellraiser. Evil Dead. Interview with the Vampire.
Is that
horror film? It's a good film.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, like, I'm not questioning you, Jamie. Don't worry. Well, I am. You probably don't even listen anymore, you know. You have to let me know, won't you? But Interview with the Vampire, I always thought of it as, like, I don't know. I mean, it is a horror in some ways, but it is more of a romantic horror, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe? I mean, I don't know really how to see it as horror. I guess there are elements of it because, it's just like the living dead.
Yeah.
So,
sucking blood and, you know, whatnot. But, okay, well, we'll still allow it. But I'm just never 100% sure on that film because it's, I don't know, but then I've got a massive scare threshold. You know, I don't scare quite easily on horror films. So, you know, because I'm always kind of sat there prepared for the jump scare. So you can tell when it's happening because the music changes, doesn't it?
That's
so,
true.
Yeah.
And Jamie's also put a special mention to Gothica and 13 Ghosts.
Yeah, I love 13 Ghosts.
I don't think I've ever seen that. No, I haven't. But he's put, no doubt, if I did this again, it would be different because I'm incredibly indecisive. But at the moment, this is what it is. I can understand that because when I was thinking about my own list, that will come up, you're like, do I have this? Do I have that? You know, how do I feel about it?
Yeah, I also did the same. There's a couple that are like absolutely my favourites, like pretty much all time. But there are a few that are going to be sort of interchanging all the time. And I may actually have 6 this week, everybody. Seeing how everyone else seems to be breaking the rules and I haven't broken the rules yet, I decided to go with 6. I know. Andy, you know, Andy's been using his mum. He's been saying that his mum has been providing stuff of computer games and music. I just don't believe it. So I'm actually going to just admit that I am cheating the system and going for 6 this week. So yeah, 13 Ghosts though is a really good film. David McWhirter, his choices are Dracula, Princess of Darkness. So that sounds
Prince, not princess.
Sorry.
It's an entirely different film. That's one of the ones you probably rent from the beaded section of the video shop.
It probably is, right? Oh dear, I've got already, like this early on, I've already gotten to the point where I can't read. Prince of Darkness, The Thing, The Exorcist, The Wicker Man, to which I did actually ask him, do you mean the original or the remake? Mm-hmm. And he said, the original, obviously, because the remake is awful. And I tend to agree with him that the remake was terrible. And Let the Right One In is his final choice, which is also the original version as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, The Wicker Man. What did you think of the remake of The Wicker Man?
I've never actually watched it. I just know it for the horrible memes of, like, the bees and...
Yeah. And I went through a real phase. I can't remember the actor's name right this second, but I went through a real phase where I was just like, oh, I can't stand him. So Nicolas Cage? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so I was right. But yeah. So yeah, he kind of frustrated me because he was kind of like, at one point, he was kind of like the same character in every movie.
So the next one is Serena Micklewright, and she's put this, and I agree with this, there's too many to choose from. Easy to do the worst movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. So a few of the favourite are The Evil Dead.
Yep.
Yep. Halloween, The Thing. See, again, we get a lot of repeat ones here. And Critters. She's put, as a kid, it would freak me out. And Lisa Frankenstein, that's a new one I've yet seen. It's a fun horror movie.
Yeah, and thank you for realising that, you know, I'd accidentally put the Lisa Frankenstein on the wrong line there as well and not just outing me. So I've outed myself, but, you know, thank you for noticing. But yeah, I think that's the first reference to Halloween, isn't it, as well? And Critters. Nope, I'm lying. So it's the first reference for Critters. Lisa Frankenstein there. I've never heard of that one, but I will check it out as well. So I'll see what that one's like. So, yes. And then the next one is from, Becky Westwood, who is Jamie Westwood's wife. None, because I don't like horror films, although Jamie makes me watch them. She obviously can't stand them, but she does sort of watch a couple. I think she more watches them in October rather than all year round. So
now Kate Bruno's got a good list. The Abominable Dr. Fibes, The Fly, the original, so I'm assuming that's the one from the 50s, An American Werewolf in London, and The House of Seven Gables. Ooh. I've never heard of The House of Seven Gables.
No, I haven't heard of the first one either. Have you seen that one?
I've not seen it, but I know of the Abominable Dr. Fibes, yeah. So that's it. So look at these. These are kind of like proper old school horror films.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes they're amazing as well, aren't they? Yes,
very true.
And also you think about, like, because they had to put an awful lot more work into it in some ways. when they were
practical effects. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So it wasn't anything like, you know, you could just go over to a drawing board and then draw the scary-ish demon who actually looks pathetic, you know, or whatever. But yeah, so but yeah, no, definitely good choices. And then the next one is from Gary Azaro. Halloween 1978, the Amityville Horror 1979. I also like the remake of that one as well. I think the remake of that is actually quite cleverly done as well. I like both. The Night of the Living Dead, yep, I absolutely love those films. That's the 1986 version. Night of the Hunter, which I've not heard of before, but that's the 1955 one. 55th. Yeah, so well, aren't I? If everyone,
it's a shame, but what, this is what happens for the younger people. When you get old, like Gemma, the mind starts to wander.
I'm not old. I'm younger than you, and I've had a really busy day at work. So you leave me alone. But yeah, my brain has gone. So, The Night of the Hunter, 1955 was what I was supposed to say. And The Woman in Black, which is the 1989 version, which I've not actually seen the original. I have seen the remake, and I just wanted to punch Daniel Radcliffe in the mouth. But that's another story for another day. But but there we have it. I will go. Maybe I will tell the story. Maybe I won't. So, and then he has honourable mentions to The Exorcist, The Nightmare on Elm Street, which is the 1984 one, which I think is the original.
It is, yep.
Yeah. The Haunting in the 1963 version, Psycho 1960 version, and Suspiria, is that what that says?
Suspiria.
Suspiria. Okay. So I've never heard of that one. But again, I will check it out. I'll see what... Basically, I'm getting a nice list of movies that I'm going to be watching when I'm finally able to relax.
I mean, Gary, you are a cheater because you've chosen far more than the allotted number, but we'll forgive you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I had noticed. It's just not the worst.
Justin Kyle. I've only heard of a few of these. Well, I've heard of most of them bar this first one. Terrifier 2. I've not heard of that. I've not even heard of Terrifier 1. Hellraiser. Yep. A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. So that one's cropping up again. And yep. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein's Creature from the Bat Lagoon. Interesting.
Oh, no. I think that's, again, my typos.
You put those... Ah, right.
I do.
We'll again, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, yeah.
Yeah.
And the creature from the Bat Lagoon.
Yeah. Can I just explain to the salty tadpoles for a quick moment here that when it comes to me putting these emails together, I am just literally cutting and pasting. And for the most part, it is usually about 10 minutes before we are set to record. So I do make a couple of mistakes. So I do apologize. But yes, so James, I do apologize. But
it's okay. Yes. I kind of thought there might be a fault.
So instead of acting upon that thought, you thought, I'm just going to mock her in person. That's terrible.
Well, you allowed that to happen, so I just ran with the ball.
It was like last week I did Total Eclipse of the Heart or something, and it was like, and then Brick by Ben Folds 5 or something, but it was all on the one line. Yeah, luckily I read that one out, but and Andy was like, oh, I thought it was the same. So yeah, we're entertaining behind the scenes as well as in front of the mic.
Very true.
Yeah. So then moving on to Victoria Hodge, The Grudge. That's a good film. I've not actually seen the original of that. I've only seen the remake of that. So I need to actually check out the original of those as well, because I know that they're all in Japanese, and it's whether I've got the patience to actually sort of sit and read the subtitles, if you know what I mean. But yeah. Halloween, again, good choice. The Thing, The Woman in Black. So she doesn't specify which one, so it would be quite interesting to find that one out. And Night of the Living Dead, 1968.
Excellent. James Higson's list I love. Screamers.
Yep.
Event Horizon, which I have still yet to see. The Thing. Videodrome. That's a good but very weird film. And a film I completely agree is a horror for many, many reasons. In theory, it's a good film, but in practica, the practical elements of certain parts of it, including somewhat in, including the scene of one specific person, ruin it. It's Mamma Mia the Musical, because I'm sorry, I really do like Pierce Brosnan, but the man cannot sing.
No, he really cannot. It's awful. It's absolutely awful.
Bless him, he tried, and as he himself pointed out, he has a gold record, but...
But no, he 100% cannot sing. It's awful. So do you want to read Ian Shaw's, because I've messed up with Daniel's and then I can get that one out properly.
Okie dokie. So Ian, funnily enough, Ian, I'm reading yours. We're missing the normal swapping around thing for some reason I cannot comment upon. So, Psycho.
I can, yeah.
Cropping up again. Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors. There's a lot of love for that one, definitely. Yeah. Child's Play. Charles Play, good choice. Scream, the original, and Idle Hands. Oh, I like it, Ian. A very good run there.
Yeah, we even reviewed on this podcast Idle Hands as well, didn't we? I think that was No, Beetlejuice was the first one that we did. But it was one of the early ones. But Child Play. It took me a long time for me to rewatch Child's Play because I actually watched it when I think I was about 12 or 13. And it really, really scared me. And to the point that, you know, I couldn't look. I never liked dolls anyway. And dolls still kind of creep me out, really. Especially when, you know, they're, ugh, anyway. But, it did take me a long time as an adult to kind of get around to actually watching it again so that I could actually, you know, say, oh, well, actually, it's not that bad. And, I definitely realised it wasn't that bad when I rewatched it again. But yeah, it was just the memory of how I felt when I was sort of, I think it was about 12 when I watched it. So, you know, but very good choice. Like that film.
Now, just before you say this, I can't count it's the way you've copied it or the fact that Daniel's just gone like wild when he was commenting upon them.
Well, it could be to do with some of the cutting and pasting. Could be. But I can't separate sequels in some cases because I see them as a cohesive unit. So he goes with the Omen trilogy, A Nightmare Before Christmas, A Nightmare on Elm Street 1 and 3, The Exorcist 1 and 3. Yeah.
Excellent choice.
Yeah, absolutely, because 2 and 4 are shit. They are awful. They are absolutely awful.
I have all of them, and I have, well, apart from the latter, but I have, like, the trilogy thing. I've never even bothered to watch the second one.
No, just don't bother. Honestly, don't bother. It is an absolute laugh-along moment of it. I've got the same box set, and I know exactly what you're talking about, but, yeah, just, I mean, watch it. Just so you can say you've seen it, just so you can laugh along with everybody else who hates it. But, you know, An American Werewolf in London and Insidious 1 and 2. So, yeah. But I also brought up a story with regards to Daniel as well, because, well, we are friends, but we've not seen each other for quite a while. So, you know, it's like we were, in the past, we were really, really close friends anyway. And we went to see The Omen when it was remade and on the 6th of June 2006, you know, 666. So we actually specifically went that night as well. And I was just like, I was reminiscing with him when he put that comment up that, you know, it's like, me and him, because we'd watched The Omen so many times, we kind of knew it word perfect, you know, and obviously it was a remake, so it's slightly different. But yeah, we were all sat there, both of us sat there really hardcore. And then also all of a sudden there was like this random dog scene that was different. And we both just jumped out of our skins. And everyone around us was just sort of giggling because we were actually jumping out of our skins. Otherwise, we were just sat there like, la, 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 enjoying the film, you know. But yeah, no, we absolutely jumped out of our skins with that. And it was quite funny. So he also says that there are some books out there with fan-fucking-tastic ideas that never properly translate into films because of shitty movie writers and low budgets. I feel the need to mention Watchers by Dane Coutts. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, sounds right in my head anyway. Making that today would be so timely too. And then he just put want. So I think that means that he wants it.
Well, as they always said about the remake of The Omen, it was not so much making the film, it's just a release date in search of a film.
What do you mean?
Well, it was the 6th of the 6th, 2006. So that was the only reason that he did it, just to capitalise upon that date.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay, I see. Sorry, I was a bit slow in the brain there. But yeah, I mean, it makes absolute sense, though, to do it, to market it. And
Oh, it was
definitely a good choice. It wasn't a bad film. It wasn't a bad remake. Milk, for God's sake. It wasn't a bad remake. But I absolutely prefer the originals.
And my good friend Janine Erica Batten has gone with something a bit different. Well done, Janine. I like this.
Yeah.
She's put, I love Christmas horror films. Krampus, Gremlins, Black Christmas, Batman Returns, and Scrooged.
Is Batman Returns a horror film?
Well, I'd say is Scrooged a horror film? There are kind of creepy, weird, twisty elements. So,
yeah.
We'll give her those. You know, we'll be nice. We'll be the usual harsh critics we are.
No, absolutely. When I saw it there, I was like, Batman Returns. I wasn't 100% certain on that one. Scrooge, I can understand because, you know, there's parts of it that are really dark and stuff like that. And I agree with Gremlins as well. But you know what, Janine? Let's not pick on you. I'm ever so sorry. I don't mean to pick on you. But it's really good choices. But I'm just not 100% sure on Batman Returns. So I'll keep digging that hole. I might come out.
I mean, I'd agree if she put Batman and Robin, because that really was a horror film.
Or Catwoman.
Oh, God, the memories.
I know. See? Yeah, I didn't even torture you with that one, did I?
Yeah, not even Halle Berry, the wonderful Halle Berry, could save that film. Goodness me. So, I got another two additions. And they're almost a two for the ghost together, because it's... married couple, it's my friends Lyndon and Jen. If you're a listener, you will know Lyndon is my friend, but also my primary torturer by pulling pranks on me all the time.
He certainly is.
But he gave us a lovely top five of horror, and so did Jen. So with Lyndon's, it is Demons, possibly pronounced Damons, but it's because it's a very strange way that it's written, but it's a great film. I was introduced to it by Lyndon and Jen. It's an Italian horror film. Phantasm, good choice.
Yeah, I thought that might come up. The Shining.
The Shining.
Yeah.
Ooh. The original Halloween and Friday the 13th Part 2.
I think that's the first time The Shining's come up as well, isn't it?
It is. But
that almost went on my list, but yeah.
You're going to see a bit of symmetry, which is Jen's choices. Her number one is The Shining.
Ooh.
A Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, The Exorcist original, Demons, and 28 Days Later.
Ooh, that's a good film as well.
Yeah. Very good choices.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 28 Weeks Later was a bit samey, though. It was kind of like, oh, here we go. But, you know, 28 Days Later, the original one. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed that film. But the sequel, not so much. But, yeah.
I'm sure I've heard there's another one coming out, you know.
I'm not surprised. What was it, 28 years later?
I don't know.
Or months,
it could be months or years. It could be months or years or something. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, good luck getting Cillian Murphy, because he ain't going to be cheap.
No. I think he probably won't even be on the list anymore.
Not at all.
Unless it's like a passion piece or something.
Unless he does it as a favour on scale.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no. Yeah, so like I said, I like that original one. And logically, you'd say that actually it would be months later, wouldn't you? But... Yeah, we'll see. Mm. We'll see what happens, maybe.
Jem, I'm intrigued. What are your choices?
Okay, so if we go one by one.
Okay.
As usual. So my first one is Case 39.
I've never even heard of that.
Ooh. Well, it's got Renee Zellweger in it. Yeah, I think that's how you say her name. But basically, it's kind of like... Most of my films actually are related to having small children in there, because small children scare the shit out of me. So there is a reason. But they're
nightmarish. You're scaring me with that.
And so, you know, I'm not gonna ruin things here, but you know, this film is really good. It is really gripping, and I recommend you actually to watch it as well, because it's all about, you know, a girl that needs to be taken out of her family home to be sort of fostered and stuff like that, you know, kind of thing. But there's something very wrong with the little girl, or is there, you know, kind of thing. Ooh. So, yeah. So
interesting.
Yes, it's a bit of a creepy one. But yeah, I always find it, I do find the films extra creepy if there's kids involved.
Interesting. So is it on to me now?
It is, yeah.
So my number one. It's simply because of just the wonderful memories I've had.
Can I guess?
Go on.
Phantasm.
Kind of. It's Phantasm 2.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah, because that's the first one I ever saw, and that's what got me into the whole Phantasm series. So, yeah, Phantasm 2.
Ooh. And right, because I kind of cut you off there slightly, so I do apologise, but what was the reasons? Because it was the first one that you saw, or was there another reason?
It's the first one I saw. It's almost more actiony than horror, okay. But it has the horror elements. But I just love the Phantasm sequel. I think it's the whole style of it. And it was the film within the series with the biggest budget. And it was kind of I just love it as a film. But obviously it probably is because it's the first one I ever saw, and I have nice memories of watching it. I mean, I was drunk, but I can still remember seeing it. So
I was drunk, and I think he came out of the TV with a big sphere. See, I don't know why, but I still haven't watched the box set yet. So I really need to get onto that. I think it's because my DVD player isn't compatible. So I need to actually sit in front of the laptop. But because I sit in front of a laptop all day, because of work, the last thing I want to do is sit in front of the laptop again, you know. But I promise I will get around to it one day, James. I promise I will. Because I've got like all 4 or 5 or whatever it is, you know, like the complete box set of all of them. So
I've got so many different versions of it now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So my second one, I should say as well, mine are in no particular order, but you know, this is my number two, let's say, because they're all my favourites. So, is A House of 1,000 Corpses, which is when I said earlier that about Adam Coxey, when he had the Devil's Rejects. Basically, the Devil's Rejects is the remake, not remake, but the follow-on from A House of 1,000 Corpses, which I love that film. It was done by Rob Zombie.
I thought it was, yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen it, or
I've not, but I'm aware of them. I'm aware of them, so yeah
they're really, really good. It's a complete psychopathic family, and yeah, just a lot of bad shit goes down with this family. So,
oh dear.
yeah and of course his wife is in it, you know, of course.
What, never? This is like when Tim Burton was with Helena Bonham Carter, and strangely she appeared in all these films.
I know. Funny, it's insane, isn't it? It's insane. I can't believe it. But no, yeah, his wife does make an appearance.
Get out of town.
I know.
So my second film is one that is not, well, it has, we've already seen on the list, and it, with a lot of the films I've chosen, they're not the ones that I'm kind of loved by, you know, the vast majority of fans. But for me, I will watch this every Halloween without fail, which is Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. And I know it's not Halloween as in, you know, Michael Myers Halloween, but I just love it as a film. It's just, I don't know, there's something about it, the whole strangeness of it, that appeals to me. And I will always stick that on as one to watch.
And also, if I may just say something as well, you don't need to justify why you've picked your list, because it doesn't matter if it's not everyone's favourite list, because this is your moment.
That's true. It's true. You know, but I just found it interesting looking at my list that it's like a run of the stuff that a lot of people don't dig, but maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why I like it in part.
I mean, you are known to like things because other people don't like it. And also, like, Stranger Things, you will refuse to watch it if somebody recommends that you watch it. So,
it's a badge of pride with me. It's like certain bands. If a lot of people like them, on principle, I have to dislike them or just not listen to them.
I know. Yeah, I have. I have sort of learnt the ways of James, so I don't bother recommending much anymore. Although I still think that we should have a movie-thon one day. You know, just like the two of us meet up or whoever, and go round your house. I think that'll be easier. Wait, I've Mr. Socks slobbering on you. I mean, I'm just inviting you round, I'm just inviting myself around your house, but you know. So my third one is following pretty much majority of people here, but it's The Exorcist. It's a phenomenal film. I kind of balls up the word there, phenomenal, but it is. And you think of it from the time when it was filmed and, you know, it's just amazing. It's an amazing film, and it still holds up today, you know. So that's a work of magic, basically, in my opinion.
My choice was The Exorcist 3, which, to be fair, I actually prefer over The Exorcist. But it is seen as a direct sequel, isn't it? It kind of cuts out, as you said, the hell that said the stand at the second one. But I just think The Exorcist 3 is brilliant, like with George C. Scott, the scenes with him, and there's an alternate cut of it as well, which I've got, the Legion cut, which has, it's a very different film, the Legion cut, and it has, because they couldn't improve the quality of some of the stuff, it goes from very good quality to ropey, kind of, you know, got rid of footage. But yeah, very, very good film. I love it. And I agree with what you're saying about The Exorcist, that it's, you know, for its time, I mean, think about the original, though.
Yeah.
It was a groundbreaking film and a terrifying film for a lot of people. People who sort of were seriously scared of it. But yeah, for me, The Exorcist 3, I love that film.
Yeah, that's a good call as well. No, I definitely like that film as well. But I'd love to sort of go back in time to actually see The Exorcist originally in the films when, you know, like in the cinema when other people see it for the first time, you know, having the knowledge of what's going to happen, you know, but everybody else not having the knowledge, that would be quite interesting. And just sitting there watching people's reactions rather than actually watching the film. So my number four, and it's not appeared yet, so I don't know if it's on your list, but is Lost Boys.
Oh, yes.
Thou shall not
sleep. That is a good film.
I haven't sung on this episode yet, so I thought, you know, I've got to do a bit of singing. But no, Lost Boys. Oh, yeah, that was one of the first, other than Child's Play, one of the first horror films that I actually watched, you know, when I was a bit older than 12 or 13. But because I really got into horror when I was about 15. So it was, you know, it was 3 years later, really. Lost Boys has always held a big part in my heart for that film. I've even got a dress that's actually themed on Lost Boys, because they're different fancy dresses that I kind of wear. Not fancy dress, but, you know, it's this designer that I use, which is called Carolina's Dress Room. They do a lot of, like, movie-related themes and, you know, cartoons and stuff like that on their dresses and leggings. So, yeah, I've actually got one that's based on Lost Boys, but, yeah. I love it. I love, 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 love that film.
See, I never saw that until much, much later on. I actually saw that when I was at university. I'd never seen it prior to that point, but it had always been in, you know, the periphery. And I just thought it was absolutely brilliant film. And it's very interesting when you look at things like that. And, I mean, I would add it. It's not a really horror film, but Flatliners, another Joel Schumacher film.
That's a good one, too.
Brilliant aesthetics to them. Brilliant style. And then the confusion of why the poor man ended up being shoehorned into making Batman and Robin, but obviously it's just something to sell to kids, basically.
He needed some money and he had to do it.
But it was also the thing that I was just thinking when you said you'd watch that very early on. I was racking my brains because a question you asked me is, what was the first horror film I saw? And I literally had no idea. I cannot remember what it would be. Not at all. My fourth film choice was a film that as a kid scared the bejesus out of me. And now I watch it as a film and absolutely love it and see it as being quite a tragic film to watch. But it's Darkman by Sam Raimi with Liam Neeson. And
okay.
Now I watch it and I'm like, I really get into it. But as a kid, it scared me.
No, that's very similar to my Child's Play scenario, isn't it? But I've not heard of that one. Darkman, did you say?
Yeah, Darkman. Yeah, it's kind of horror meets superhero. It's about a scientist who gets very badly disfigured and burned and becomes an avenging superhero. But you are kind of stepping into the horror territory with it. Mm-hmm. And Sam Raimi made it mainly because he wanted to make The Shadow, but he couldn't get the rights to make The Shadow. So, and I think there's some room that he wanted to make Batman or something, but I'm not sure about that. But certainly I know about The Shadow. But he wanted to make those and it didn't happen. So he went, right, I'll make my own thing then. And and it spawned some rather crappy sequels, but there is a rumour that they are looking with Liam Neeson to make a legacy sequel, so a direct film. Now, financially, I think it'd be impossible to do that because the film had Liam Neeson in, not exactly cheap. And
How big is it? I couldn't resist, I'm sorry.
And Frances McDormand. So again, you've got an Oscar winner, an Oscar nominee there. This is not going to be, and Sam Raimi, none of these people are going to be cheap.
No, absolutely not. And yes, Sam Raimi is definitely, done an awful lot of things since probably that film, hasn't he? So, definitely. So, I can't think of anything right now. With the how big is it,
you're going to have to insure that, and that would be costly as hell.
Exactly. And we're not talking about his nose, guys. Talking about his feet. Okay, so my fifth one is The Orphan, or Orphan. I've written it as Orphan, but I don't know if it's The Orphan. But that I really, really enjoyed as well.
I've heard of that, but I've never seen it. So,
See, I'll give you my list and you can check out the ones that you haven't seen.
Sweet.
Yeah, I do think you'll enjoy most of them, to be honest. But Orphan is kind of based on a true story, but the true story came out after the film. So it's not based on a true story, really. But basically, it's, again, a child who is kind of traumatized basically, and she comes to live in these people's houses. Again, they're fostered, blah blah blah, or adopted, I can't remember. And she starts messing around, and it's kind of like the case that she's manipulating everybody initially, and then it comes to the point where she's like killing everybody, kind of thing. There's a lot more to it as well, so that's not really the spoiler alert, but there was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but there was a real story that sort of followed this similar footsteps, but it wasn't, because it was actually the adopted family, so the mother of the family, the mother of the daughter, that she'd adopted, was basically, she wasn't a very nice person, she was quite abusive, so, but it is... very good film, very creepy. Again, a child. So you see my thoughts pattern there.
I'm not seeing a trend.
No. It's only in two. Well, three, actually. Three of the six films.
So my fifth choice, and I'm sort of suffering as a, as mentioned earlier, making a choice. It'll change by day by day. If I opened and looked at my DVD Blu-ray sort of thing, I'm probably picking something else to even add to the list, but I went with Fright Night. the original Fright Night, because I just loved that film.
Yeah,
and I'd never seen it, or I'd maybe seen bits of it, never properly taken it on board. Then one of my friends, we sat down and were watching stuff on the Horror Channel, and it popped on. I was like, this is pretty damn good. And then ended up basically, doing a bit more research into it. Got it on Blu-ray. We'll watch it. Just pop it in. I just think it's a great film. Really good film. And the sequel to the original isn't that bad either. The remake didn't really work for me. And they even made a sequel to the remake. But yeah, I wasn't impressed by either of the more recent ones. But yeah, good film.
Yeah.
Very good film.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that as well. I did kind of like the remake. But I think I actually saw it the other way around. So I think I actually saw the remake first. Mm-hmm. And then I went back and watched the original. And, so the comparison, the original is much better, but I did enjoy the remake as well. But I think that's also because I didn't have any prior knowledge of the original. Mm. So, but yeah, that was some good choices there, James. Very good choices. Mm, well done.
You. Good choices from you. I mean, I'd also wonder about throwing Aliens in, but is Aliens really a horror film? I don't know. Sci-fi? Kind of footing both things, maybe?
Yeah, I think as I've got six, you can have six. So, and I think Aliens does fall under, like the original, the first one, I think it does fall under the category of horror as well. So, I think, but, I'll have a look. I'll have a look later. We'll see.
As you said, who cares? It's our list. So.
Exactly. But my final one is, it's a film that's based upon a game. It's not Resident Evil, just in case that was the first one that popped into your mind. But I do also like them as well. But this one is Silent Hill.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. I think they're making a sequel to that, actually.
Oh, are they? Oh, amazing.
I believe so. I mean, we'll see if it happens, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really good. Now, I've never played the game, so I haven't got the game to sort of compare the film against and stuff like that. But the film, I think, is really, really good. And, it's kind of, you can only get it if you can go and get into this town, basically, if you kind of crash your car and then you walk into town, basically, isn't it? So have you actually seen Silent Hill?
Silent Dead. I don't honestly know. Okay. I might have done. I played the games, but I honestly can't recall if I've ever seen the film.
Okay. But there's a lot of supernatural stuff that happens, and it's kind of a bit cult-like as well. So it's a bit like the people are stuck there because they're part of this cult kind of environment, really. And then there's a woman who's looking for a daughter, and, do they find each other? Do they not? And so forth. What happens? Mm. And when it snows, is it snow or is it ash?
Ooh.
And is it real ash or is it body ash?
There's only one way to find out.
Absolutely. Either play the game or watch the film. But yeah. But no, I really, really enjoyed that film as well. So I think it was very cleverly done. But again, I've not seen the films, the videos, the games, sorry. I haven't seen the games as a comparison, so yeah, maybe you should watch that film and compare it to the to the games, and then give me an update as to which it will be. So I'm never going to play the game, so
fair enough.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's been a very 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 long time since I played the games, so.
Oh well, dust them off.
I don't think we even got them anymore.
I'm sure they'll be fine somewhere. I'm sure we can find somewhere online.
I'm sure there will be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, as always, thank you ever so much for everybody who has submitted this week. There was a phenomenal amount. So, really, really appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to do a Spotify list with this one. It's going to take too much time, but also I can't do it with films, but we'll do something else. So James, I don't know about you, but I think we've been talking enough codswallop this week. I have been Gemma.
I have been James.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.